Farting.
Come on.
Boop. Good morning. Good
Hey.
morning. How are you? Have you slept some?
I've slept, but I'm wrecked. I'm
Yeah, I bet.
feeling very old man. Couldn't get out of bed. Can't move.
Bet. You've been like
Yeah.
a couple week bender of finishing projects, huh?
Yeah, this commission of Laura's has been very squeezy, getting it
Right.
across the line. Yeah. So just been push, push, push. A lot of 2 a.m. finishes this week. And yesterday was install ended up getting compressed into one day just due to insurance complexities of handing over seven sculptures.
Insurance complexities. Interesting.
Yeah, we couldn't get cover to install half one day and leave them out in the wild. So it was like, okay,
Crazy.
guess we're doing it all in one day then. So yeah, it's done. Aside from like a bit of grass sculpting, because trying to retie, like reassemble grass around the sculptures, because we like lifted the grass carefully over the
Crazy,
footings.
right?
Trying to
Yeah.
put that back together in the dark was a bit challenging, so I suspect there'll be another visit in daylight. But yeah, anyway, it's done. I feel utterly wrecked by it.
Right. No kidding.
Yeah, how are you? What's happening in your world?
Taking on a decent amount of job shop work.
Yep.
Doing a project for a friend that kind of ate up some time, which was good, but it was kind of a challenging machining project, and we ended up using some fangs.
How's that
First time I
one?
had
Yep.
really through a considerable amount of time and like set up, used the fangs and the stops.
Mm.
Pretty organic, 65
Yeah,
inch
what?
long sword, a spear gun. Keep saying it the wrong thing. It's rude. He does a lot of outdoor fishing
Sure.
and hunting, and shoots a long metal rod on a rope, I believe, to
So
shoot
like
tuna.
the butt of a spear gun, like the timber part. Like I don't
It's
really
the
know what
whole
a spear
thing,
gun
yeah.
looks.
The
The whole
timber
thing.
part,
Okay.
yeah. The wood part, about 65 inches long.
Curious.
And almost none of it's no part of it's really flat on any side of it. So it was either make a very large vacuum fixture, or I chose to leave two blocks that were kind of like you do with like some of those things and leave it attached at the ends. But even then, it's like it's way too much open space to vibrate. So I left some like big chunky tab type things every 15 inches or something, and then clamped at those spots on both sides, like once it went to the second op, and went pretty well in the end. It just took a lot of time. And part of that was because we've always had this silly problem with the shop saver, and I've just written to support to see if they have any ideas, that in long repeated Y-axis movements, it has a overheat alarm, and it just
Come on.
have to go so slow to not, it's like under 300 inches a minute. And then even then it does it quite a bit. And so trying to look into that to see if there's like something we can actually do, because otherwise this machine is like running perfectly fine. It's just a pretty key factor. Like the job we're doing right now is got long Y-axis movements, and it's like kind of what these things do, you know?
How quickly does it trigger the alarm? Like it has to be doing that for a while.
If you're going faster, it seems to dump more heat into these servo motors on either side, and then at some point they have an overheat alarm. It can be like five passes, and it seems to be worse when
Wow.
it's more time away from lubrication and cleaning. Like it could be like 20 hours even, you know, halfway through. And if the day is hotter, right, it's hotter in the space, it'll happen sooner. If you're making the shorter repeated movements, though, not really a problem. It's like over a meter or so, you might get it. I think it has to do with the ball screws and how they bounce. And I think there's too much resistance somewhere. But
Is your machine
it's at times big problems.
horrible? Is your machine one that you can, when it's off, you can move it around by hand? Like, or,
you know what's funny is that is what Claude suggested to try and do. As I was like, I've never tried to have AI look at this problem. And it gave me like 7 steps that we haven't had time to go through yet, but I cannot remember. And the part of the problem is because the spindle drops and I have to basically have no tool in for it to not touch anything. But I can't remember. It's been so long since I tried to do that because it's always resting on something that
I, was just,
I can clamp it and keep it up higher maybe.
Yeah, our old, like of our 2 multicams, one, if we back drove it when it was off, it was really bad for its circuits, like because the steppers would generate power and push that power back into the boards when it was off, which was bad, bad. I think you could pop things doing that, like manually moving anything.
Makes
Whereas
sense.
The one that we've got, still got, which is got servos, so it's, I think it's got ClearPath servos on it. You can drive that, like when that's off, you can push it around however you like and it's not going to damage anything. So
it's definitely got servos, but I don't know about ClearPath. I doubt that. I think those are expensive, right? Like they're like a specialty thing.
They're just the best. I don't know. Semi-specialty, good quality servos. Yep. But servos are servos, surely. I don't know. It probably depends how circuits are set up. Anyway, just something I've noted. If you're going to push things around to check mechanical stuff, might be worth unplugging your axis drivers before you push stuff around.
Interesting.
Pull
some cables out. The other weird thought that hasn't been done in a really long time, and I know it can be a problem on these machines, is the axis gets off, the y-axis. Y-axis. Is it homes on both sides every time, but it'll still allow it to kind of one side will drag, right? Or like it's slightly out of square. And you can't even tell it in the parts or anything. It's just, it can be a problem.
So we're talking about your like long axis, not across the gantry, but your long axis is your
long.
Y, is it?
Yeah, that's Y on this. Okay. Yeah.
Interesting.
Right.
Annoying.
Yeah, it's 30 to 50% longer probably just because of that problem whenever you're doing something like this. And it's like one of those things where like we don't do those kind of projects that often, so we just kind of like work around it. And it's kind of nebulous and anyway.
Do you have a shop saber?
Well, we have lifetime tech support, so I just messaged them again, see if they have any thoughts that have come up since then, and I haven't used that in years, so we'll find out.
Cool.
If they have any ideas.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
How's Biz things picked up for you since we last chatted?
Yes. Every day I'm checking like the things that like matter in and out of like, according to Claude, that's looking at all my statistics, I've done everything right in this migration process, and we're ahead of the normal migration recovery, as it calls it.
Mm-hmm.
And that still feels woefully slow, but we have had some more normal weekday sale days again, but it's still, I still feel like we're way behind. Like the cash flow, all my efforts at Profit First got pummeled by last month, basically.
Oh, shit.
And so I'm still kind of in like a cash flow recovery of that, which you would think like, oh, you have more cash than a month, but I did, you know? Anyway, we have one bigger job coming that I know is in the next month or so that will be nice to have that come in and kind of like smooth some feelings over and get us back set right. So,
yeah.
Can you hear my air conditioner?
No.
I
hear your router. Okay. A little routing away.
Mm-hmm.
Or something. Maybe routing.
That's the air compressor.
Cool.
So we're doing really light trace engraving right now.
Yeah.
Whew.
Well, I don't have one. Yeah, what?
I was going to ask you, we have some things here. You have it. You wrote 2-year comparison Shopify bill.
Did I?
That was all.
The only thing. Hilarious. I saw a Shopify bill come in the other day and it was like $15 or something. I was like, ha, huh, amazing. Because it was how
not
long
$1,500.
Yeah, exactly. I meant to go back and compare how much our like monthly Shopify bill would have been peak season, yep. But it would have been about, yeah, it would have been close to 1,500 AUD like 2 years ago. So it was pretty satisfying to see that one come in the other day. Like, yes, my last little app replacements have worked. I got rid of my last few paid apps the other day, a few weeks ago, and like, satisfaction. Nice.
Nice.
I've been working on a similar thing for sure. Like you mentioning some of those things about I'd had a list of apps and somewhere between free apps and we don't have many paid Shopify apps. I've used a lot of free apps that I've kind of hit the limits on, you know, like, like the review app that you've replaced a while back. We've long since passed its limit. So we only get so many review requests a month.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of other things. And so I've started a private app that I'm working on that like it's going to be like our Shopify dashboard per se. That gives us more features.
Like going for a bit of all-in-one vibe.
That's a cool idea. It just makes it easier so that you can keep tacking on more features instead of having to make separate ones, you know?
That's a great idea.
So I call it rake. All the features into a pile.
I like it. You're going to make it as a Shopify app, so it'll be your own private Shopify app. Is that?
Yep. Yeah, it's in action. Yep.
See, I haven't done that at all.
It needs work.
That's a great idea. I need to look into that because everything that I've done been like basically just liquid edits in Shopify, bring up my review app replacement, yes, I replaced my paid review app, but like the repercussions of that haven't been amazing in terms of it's meant that I've done a lot less requesting of reviews and when they come in.
It stagnated it, right? Yeah.
Stagnated. It's a bit of a hurdle now to be like, oh, we got a new review from Google. I have to manually transcribe that and put it in the right JSON format and upload it in this certain spot. And so, yeah, I've definitely got some work to do to streamline it. I like the app idea.
Fix that.
Oh, look at this dashboard. Reek. I don't think it had occurred to me that you could have private Shopify apps that are just for you. Smart.
I've done that in the case of like the migrations. They're like, you know, when I was doing Help Scout, and I think even when you set up like, maybe that's not true. I thought when you set up the MCP for Shopify for like Cloud, you had to set up an app. Maybe not. Maybe it's just access.
Yes. Yeah. There is a Shopify CLI connector app. Yeah.
Right. A lot of it's kind of, it needs work in terms of like, I sketched out a whole lot of features that I wanted and had it work on a few of them, you know, progressively through, and they're just like kind of too rough and not really what I like. A lot of these, I've worked on like some of that page that I sent you a screenshot of, and it's kind of there, but it definitely needs some refining. It's a start.
I like that you've built in some of the profit first stuff into it. That's cool.
Trying to.
Sick.
I'm always doing this math constantly, just, you know, my phone or my head of profitability and like how much we need to make each day. That's kind of always my metric of like weekdays, how much we want to make. So I have a place where I put in what our break-even number is and then what the goal is per day. And so it's kind of tracking on the main dashboard page, like trying to get to that point. And now I don't have to hopefully do it as much just constantly in my head or like, what are we projecting by the end of the month? What are we going to make? And it's like, I'm always just doing that stupid like ratio of like, we've made this much over this many days, you know, and do the division thing. And I always get it confused. So it does, you know, it's just little stuff like that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Maybe the thing that I told another friend who has a Shopify store that this is one of the things that doesn't work very well yet, but I'm going to, top feature for this was to be able to be aware of things that are out of stock and are going out of stock, because like of all the things I have, the best of that, Vico has a feature for that, but it's kind of shit and it doesn't notify you at all. You just have to go check it. So like I have a status now of like, I'm going to mark things that are critical to keep in stock and have it be able to like summon us right when those are getting closer. And it gives me like a velocity and how many, this is a critical, like a crazy one, profit per day when we're out of stock, or like revenue per day when we're out of stock of that item based on sales and trends and stuff. And it's like,
that's cool.
Really gets your attention of like, oh, that's a lot of money to just be leaving not in stock, you know?
Kick up the pants. Yeah, I like that. That's cool. Very cool. I like it. Nice. Yeah. We've been, Johnny and I have been continuing our sort of software development spree. I feel like a lot of the work we've been doing over the last few weeks has just been fixing bugs, getting feedback from the team, and just doing little minor, nothing big, just lots of little stuff. Like I've got a GitHub. We've started using GitHub issues, which I'm finding really useful because we can both file issues on each other's builds. So like I've got one open at the moment, which is like freight booking rights, quoted price to shipping costs collides with weekly billing reconciliation. It's like, cool. It's just becomes a list of things, but GitHub handles it so well in terms of collecting the right information as an issue. And then next week I can fix that. And I just, John had fixed all sorts of stuff after he'd gone home at the end of the week. And there's a message in the inbox to me, assuming that I'm at work, just saying, hey, if you have a chance, can you deploy XYZ? Because he can't do it. He can't deploy to the workshop server from home. So he's obviously gone through and fixed a whole lot of stuff, committed it. But we need to actually be on site here to deploy it. Speaking of server,
that's a nice little safety
stuff. I've got a whole little pile collecting over there of my, what's that brand? I bought it and I don't even know what it is.
Unify.
Unify, thank you.
Or,
Ubiquity? No.
Ubiquity. Unify. Yeah, Ubiquity, and the brand is Ubiquity, or the company, and Unify is the like line of products.
Yeah, that stuff. Have you ever played with it?
Yeah, I have at home in my shop.
Do you?
Mostly just network stuff, not cameras.
Yeah, this is just network stuff.
Which did you get?
Just network.
Yeah, it's nice stuff.
Okay. I'm rebuilding the workshop
server.
It's
got really nice control systems.
Cool.
Wait, so, how do you make a server with it?
Well, no, I'm making a new server box. So I bought a new Ubiquity modem and network switch. And I've got two new little mini PCs. And I'm going to try and do some sort of cloned arrangement. So we've got redundancy, basically, like a little, because they're so cheap, like they're $250 computers or something. So I'll flash them both with the Linux server distro. And then try, I haven't quite worked out, like, is one just going to be off most of the time and it wakes up once a week just to like reclone its friend and then turns off again? Or I'm not sure. I haven't worked out that logic yet, but.
Yeah.
Or whether they're both on all the time. But then if one gets corrupted, does that risk both of them going down? I don't know. These are the things I haven't worked out. But I want to make like a little...
Snapshots over a few period.
Yeah, a sexy little wall-mounted server hub, which has got these mini PCs and a backup power supply and the Ubiquity stuff in there. And sort of, I'm looking forward to tinkering with that next week.
Yeah.
Be fun. Tickle my
I've had
little...
it since we started this shop. It's been, I had, what did we have at home before that? I don't remember. I kind of at the same time was just like, all right, time to grow up. And I went from like whatever the like shitty thing you get from your, I don't remember. I had some bad single point thing and we were getting bad service. And then when we started expanding here, I immediately threw that in here and it's been pretty good. I'm getting the sense that I need to upgrade to the newer Wi-Fi because I think they're all like probably 5 or 6 year old tech, probably longer than that, 7 or 8 now. And the Wi-Fi speeds, and the weird thing that like threw everything off was adding the new shop, and like that's as far from back in the UMC area, that's as far from like existing Wi-Fi and stuff as, because we didn't need to support it, you know, like we didn't need Wi-Fi back that far before. So I'm like trying to be on my laptop back there and it'll be like crawling speeds, and I'm like kind of itching to move on, but trying not to spend any extra weird improvement money right now. it's a drug.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's been a little bit dangerous, like being in this sort of super rush mode. I haven't done like a big project rush like this for a while. And it's been a little bit dangerous this week of like, oh, we need a new hammer drill so we can install twice as fast tomorrow. Cool. Go out and spend $500 on a new Makita skin. It's like, it's a dangerous, expensive mode to be in of like just throw all time and resources at the end of a project to get it across the line. Right. As much labor as possible, and there's a reason we only do projects like this every 5 to 7 years, because we're just so burnt out and over it by the end of it.
Yeah.
I just lost.
I don't know how to put this into good words, so it's probably going to be long and too many words. So we've been going through, like Ricky was out a couple days, so I'll introduce our shop coordinator's name, Gretchen. She's been here since March. It's been amazing. She's been stepping in to try to help do some of the shipping. I've done some, she's done some, but obviously, I mean, I know far more of the process as I used to do it, but Ricky's the point person. So we've been in the process. Gretchen's been taking notes about like things we need to do so that what she called the catastrophic Ricky's got hit by a bus list, basically. Like all the things that, you know, we've got one person doing, and trying to split that out and be more documented. And part of that process is, I know I always call it undercover boss when I take that on or do some kind of role that, and I usually have some notes and we go and talk about them afterwards. And Ricky's always great about like never taking it personally. So one of the steps is just literally like, I don't know how else to call it, but like wayfinding. Like, how do you find all the things you need to pack a box, right? How do you assemble? We do a lot of kind of final assembly of like a dust boot. Fang orders are like half packed, but like we have to kind of pack them finally as somebody might order 4, 8, or 16 fangs and then now stops. And so it's like, so all these like final steps that are really intentional. What we're trying to figure out is if you've figured out any of this, like how do you visually wayfind or like get somebody through, here's a packing slip, and then how do you find everything well? Like, is there like a color system? Pick a product and it's like, oh, duck towers, it's got 4 different little boxes or shared components. How do you get those all into the kitted thing in the end that looks nice and goes to the customer? And I think you need a PhD for some of this, honestly.
I wish I had answers, but I do not. It's hard. It's so hard. There's so much, like, yeah, I feel like there's still so much tribal knowledge in this stuff that's really hard to get documented. Like, we've got stuff in Notion, well, now in Obsidian, which tries to cover some of this stuff, but I find it's, you know, like there's a photo of a carton with what's in it and like where the pack out paper goes for different. I find it, the data becomes stale really quickly because we iterate on it. And so it's stale within 2 seconds. So writing it down somewhere like Notion doesn't actually seem to help. And yeah, at the moment we have some shared standards around boxing up and packaging, but I notice like, depending on who's here on which days, depending when we're getting orders out, everyone does it slightly different. There's no, you know,
which is fine if it's good.
If it's good, yeah. I mean, I'd love to standardize all that so like it does get done really consistently, but I don't know. Like, if you had one or two products and they were small and concise and you could set up a cell for each thing, so you take, like, it's almost like you need the conveyor belt or like the production line of like more space.
It shifts
to give you zones, the thing you, oh, and then it's like,
I like that.
Then you need, okay, I'm at this bit now, so I grab that bit and that and put them together, and then I move zones. Or like when you've got a multitude of different products and form factors, and I don't know how to solve it.
So either. my we have a bunch of thoughts and they're kind of like all swirling right now.
Mm.
And I did just find more those like hanger panels that we put our little plastic bins on for super cheap. So we're adding more space, which was part of the factors. Ricky's trying to organize it into a small enough space that it's all there. And the first thing I thought of when I was both trying to train Gretchen and pack orders myself was like, it needs to more simply be groups of product, like a row, right? Is all the duck tower or whatever. Mm. Splitting them up and putting them all over the place makes it really challenging for, and Ricky said, I'm not, you know, that's absolutely true. And like, I will sit here and try to find stuff myself sometimes. And I'm never putting this on him. I'm just saying, like, we're always thinking of how do we replace the system or make the system better, whatever it is. And my theory was like, well, if you think about it, like we're in some little Tokyo train tunnel. What is it? Hero Dreams of Sushi, right? Where he's got this tiny little space and you just, but I've got to be able to like pick something from behind me and pack the box right in front of me. That's kind of how we set up the fulfillment area. We don't have giant spaces to be able to do this in. So you got to have like the primary box of the product. And then if there's like extras or more than you need for right then, it needs to be like a cold storage that's somewhere nearby to refill that area. So we can have a bunch of products reachable right there. Now have to walk, because you never know what somebody's going to order. It's not like we only get Dust Boot and this end mill every day. It's like all over the place now, which is great. So that was the first thing. The other thing was I was trying to think compared to like, all right, well, what does Amazon do? How do they, and it's a bad comparison, but they're an efficiency machine. And I was like, well, A, they wouldn't give you an option of how much tape. They would just like say, here's the box, and it spits out two pieces of tape. You know, like this is what you get to use, probably. You know, it's like takes away the decision making to make it standardized and efficient and whatever. But the other side of that is like, in terms of packing boxes, the only thing I just finally came to is like, I think we need a little touch screen here. And you scan a AirShop card and you get a little kiosk. Kind of like what you've made, but it's like, I'm thinking of like tabs across the top or the bottom that's like assembly and then fulfillment and like whatever other steps, processes you want. And you can like maybe swipe images. And to make that really simple to update at a computer that's not this kiosk, and that can be updated at any time from anywhere, right? Like it's constantly being updated, but realistically, it's like you stick whatever product from the box you got there, and now you've got the steps to create the Laguna Dust Boot and how you assemble the parts. Here's the box we normally use and the pieces that go with it. So otherwise, I don't know, you have 16 pieces of paper to put together one, you know, shipment, so... None of that came today.
I mean, that's cool. I like it. I've had a similar fantasy with our dispatch station recently of like, big touchscreen there or something, and you scan your barcode on your order and it goes, oh, okay, within this order is kit of parts and whatever. And it IDs, the SKUs, and goes, based on this order, it then throws up, you know, packing tips or something, or examples of like gold standard for how these items get boxed up as a bit of a guide, you know. Say you haven't done it for a while or you've never done it, and it's like, cool, this is how it should look, and sort of guides you through the process. But again, like I just come back to the thing of stale data and updates, like who's keeping that system up to date? Where's the feedback loop of like, oh, it works better if I put the tape this way around the carton, not that way. So that's out of date now. Who's taking the photo? Who's updating it? Are they doing it on the fly? So being fed back to you at the end of the week to say, hey, here's all the updates you need to make based on what we're doing. I don't know. It's just maybe.
I think pre-AI, I think this was really hard. I came to that realization thinking through this process of like, oh, in a bigger company, you would have. So I was thinking about literally just putting some of the boxes together and like how so many of these steps trying to show this new person, it's so tribal. It's like, oh, well, this box is kind of weird. You have to hold it. And it's like some of that never changes. But also like what I would love is a little animation on the screen of how that works. And, you know, some of that's hard to do, but also sometimes it's just very easy. Well, I want a top-down camera and I want all the parts laying on a desk. And then if I can simplify that for somebody, for creating that process and with like using a Mac and an iPhone, that's quite easy to take the photo, send it to your computer. And if you have to like mark it up, it's a whole nother story. Like, can you make that easy? But if you can just put text next to the image and somehow you've streamlined getting the photo into the system, that should be, anybody should be able to do that. And we've got to a place where everybody here is currently making guides that they can do on their own. And we don't have a great system for it yet. It's like Google Docs and like whatever you can make work is fine as long as you're sharing it in a team, in a team setting. I don't know. I think we're closer to that being able to make current versioned and updated guides than we've ever been with the way things can be revised. That used to be impossible and only Justin could do it before, you know, like that was a nightmare.
Yeah, absolutely. We had the first instance of that this week with after our transition to Obsidian, and a big push of transitioning all of our docs to Obsidian was so that they were just as easy as for our agents to edit as us to edit. So John had been making some changes to the automatic like packaging to dispatch workflow. So like if you've made custom cartons for a job, the box making app then feeds that data through to the shipping app so that all your box sizes and weights are pre-filled. It estimates the weights for each carton. So he'd refine that kind of workflow. And then I was like, great, done. He did a quick little in-service training with us standing out there. And then I was like, can you just get your dudes to write the process documentation for how to use that new functionality and put it in Obsidian?
Yep.
You know, 5 minutes later, there's this beautiful in-depth SOP in Obsidian, which, you know, would have taken someone half a day to write otherwise.
Right.
And then obviously very easy to rip through that and edit with minor little things later. I kind of like, I want to be able to write on something with a Sharpie and say like cross it out or highlight something and say, we don't do it like this anymore. It's almost like if you have the touchscreen idea, like having a distinct markup function where you can like switch to markup mode and just scribble something on the screen, like a sticky comment or a whatever, cross something out, put a little note and then switch back to non-markup mode. And maybe those markups get collated and processed at some point. But even if they don't, they're still sitting there and they'll be there next week when someone goes to pack that box again. It's still got Ricky's note from last week saying, oh, this is better or don't do this or whatever it is.
Right. So my version of that was simpler, which I've done in different ways. Was I like what you're saying. It'd just be a UI problem, I think. But the two things Ricky and I talked about was if you need to change something and you're just using this kiosk that has no good input devices, you just have a button to flag it for like edits. And the other thing I said while we were talking about like how do you interact with it, I was like, you know, it'd be great if we could just yell at it though too, you know, like dictate. So
yeah, absolutely.
You could just make a voice note quick and have that automatically transcribed. And then that goes into some place where it's like, oh, you needed to update this. Remember to do that at the end of the day or whatever. Or like you're saying, it just happens in the moment. And personally, I don't want a bunch of crossed out shit that never gets finalized. I'd rather have it just versioned with like who did it at what time. So you can go back and go like, no, that wasn't a good step. let's go back to June instead of what this was. But I would prefer it to be marked up rather than not marked up. So yeah, we're still talking about like keeping what we've been calling process cards, which are like the 3x5 things. And the challenge with that is we just don't have a streamlined way to make them, which I'm building into AirShop. And then that currently the thought is whatever you scan into this kiosk, it should pull up the SKU and the AirShop code, and then you can see whatever you want, but its priority would be like this fulfillment system UI rather than like, I need to order it, because we don't really want to order at the kiosk, right? We want to like pack a box and create the things.
Yeah, the voice night thing's interesting. I've been, I can't say it's worked, but I've been really encouraging my team to send feedback with voice memos where possible, of like if they're using one of these new systems or tools that we've built, is just to like ramble as they're using it and like send me the voice memo. Don't send me dot points of like what the updates need to be. Send me the full ramble, because I want the full context of what's working, what's challenging, which job you're trying to do it with, blah, blah, blah.
And you're doing this via like text message then or something?
So at the moment, people are sort of, either coming to me with a verbal description, which is then very easily lost in terms of the nuance of that, unless I record
you're
it
like, here, talk
as we're
to my
talking.
Phone.
But pretty much I often just like hit the type whisper hotkey as they're standing there next to my desk, and we'll record the full conversation. Or
can you get a little TV camera mic and just have people, it's like set up somewhere in the shop, and it's like you push a button and it's like the feedback mic, and they just, you see somebody over there talking to it. Oh, I love that so much. I've done the same thing, and Ricky has attested to me, and my wife is the same way, that they don't like talking to their phone, and I get that. But also, I don't do it as like, I won't do it in a restaurant. I'm not like those assholes that are like yelling into their phone and everybody has to listen to it. But like around the shop, I'll quietly talk, you know, to my headphones or whatever. I'm sure you're doing the same, dictating and talking, and so much faster. And I've tried to convince Ricky to that, and I think he's starting to get there. He's like, I can see it. I did try it, and I do like it. It's just I don't think about it mostly. You know, it's not his priority. So,
yeah, it's funny. I'm starting to struggle when I see someone like typing on their phone into Discord or something now. Like, what are you doing?
You are wasting time. Right.
I got John a pair of Dylan's muffs, and he's out at his desk constantly chatting to himself now. He's fully
adapted. Do you connect them?
Yeah. Oh, to each other? No. So
do you talk to each other with them?
Tried that.
Over.
Come in. Hello.
Jump to Johnny.
I mean, we're using Discord. There's probably like some sort of gaming feature in Discord that would allow us to.
There is. It's great, actually.
Just open there's my... a. Is that what voice channels are?
Yes.
Going live.
But they're like a public open channel unless you make them private as a DM. So anybody in there is like in the chat, you know, which is fine.
Cool. Have to try that.
There's a couple new things that I've really been thinking about, and I feel like you have potentially similar interest, and I did send it to you that then I have not tried this, and I don't know that I will, but I've just heard the first round of tech people talking about the new iOS 27 beta and how it's like one of the first like really good betas right out of the box, right out of the developer, you know, thing. And it's particularly the most impactful thing that they've been seeing is that the Siri is really good, like really good now.
Oh, really?
And like the thing I sent you the other day where I was shocked to learn you had never used shortcuts before, because it felt like things we talk about all the time. I've used them kind of nauseam at times, and they're kind of cool that you can share them and then import them as your own thing. But what's challenging about them is like coding, you have to know all the nuances of doing them yourself on your phone, and now you can do them on your Mac and they sync, but it's kind of a mess. And supposedly the new Siri, well, you can just say, hey, I want to make a shortcut that does this, and it, you know, kind of like we're doing with all these coding agents, can make those things, as well as like say, hey, you know, S word. What did Jem say to me about the show last week or five months ago? And it will actually be able to like look those things up.
Oh, no
and
way.
And have contextual conversations.
Finally.
Which sounds fantastic.
It's only taken them 2 years.
Right.
Hilarious.
Five years.
I look forward to that. You did blow my mind with shortcuts. The fact that you just shared one with me that immediately worked on my computer. I was like, whoa, cool. I had no idea.
Oh, on your computer too. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. Some photo combine thing. Yeah, I had no idea you could do stuff. When you sent that to me, I opened the shortcuts app and I was like, oh, I have used it. There are a couple of things in here which I'd forgotten about, but not on my radar at all. So, yeah.
They bought a company. I don't remember what it was called now. A company was making exactly what Shortcuts basically is. And they bought them and everybody was afraid that they're going to kill it off. But then they did blend in a lot of what it was into this app that's called Shortcuts. I don't remember what it used to be called. But I use that because I'm a app whore, you know?
Yes, you are.
And anyway, I'm excited about that. The other thing that I was daydreaming about because I was sitting here and I was using these like headphones and I think Gretchen had gone out of the shop and I had the door with the breeze open and I heard some weird noise. It sounded like a woman talking and I was like, freaking out. I was like, what? Are they behind me? Like, it just felt really weird, like spatially. And I had this daydream of like, you know what I want is these fancy headphones with like 8 mics on them. I want to be able to see the direction of where sound is coming from in like augmented reality.
I just think it'd be really amazing.
No, but I want to see like diagrammatically, like it coming at you.
Cool.
When you turn your head, you know, like, oh, it's not like all the time, just as like a, I don't know, just like a fun toy. But it was like the first thought I had about like really wanting to try something with AR.
Ooh, yeah, AR would be super fun to play with. I'd love to. I had some ideas for probably a year ago when I got the robots. I had some ideas that I wanted to sort of integrate AR into that world. I should pick that up again.
Programming
now.
With little gloves.
Yeah, that'd be sick. Come here and go. All that'd be feasible. It's funny, the hearing thing, like I've noticed, like I don't, out of my two data points, me and Laura, I am significantly better at being able to tell where a sound is coming from. Where it's interesting, like she, whatever that system is.
Which child?
She's fairly.
Which one was that?
Fairly terrible at being able to like immediately direction assign a sound. And it's weird. And her mum's a bit like that as well. Like not great at sort of multi sound input differentiation.
Right.
So maybe AR goggles are the answer. They get a little heads up display of like bloop. It was over there.
Yeah. Or like you're wearing some kind of thing like pokes you.
It pokes you.
Like a little vest. It's got a little haptic touch and you're ooh. Whew.
Ooh. Fun.
Uh-huh.
Well, do you need to clear the decks for Gretchen to get back to work? How are you going?
The poop deck. No, she's off now. She left a little early today for a thing.
Okay.
But I probably will go run a machine if you're doing a lot of CNC router running, which is kind of interesting.
Oh.
What was the other thing? We'll put this at the end of the show when people drop off. What did you end up doing with your big old profit first windfall?
The distribution. So I have been pushing along, still trying to hit my weekly revenue target, and just been doing a 100% distribution each week. So there's a pull of money in the income account, and then each week I've just done the standard. Okay, distribution. And okay. So that pool's so been dropping.
You've left some in there.
I left it in there, yeah. That just seemed like the easiest thing to manage, and it meant that there wasn't one big chunky distribution that would have then greatly inflated my materials account.
Right.
Which is kind of what the job requires. You know, we had 20 grand worth of birch ply arrive a couple of days ago for that big job. So, you know, I'm spending a lot of money. I'm spending a lot on ply, which will, you know, I'll be billed for that in a month or something. But yeah, there will come a time in about a month where I've got, you know, a really expensive material bill. Bloop. But yeah, I don't know. That just seemed like the easiest way to deal with it. But yeah, the key thing for me has been still trying to maintain that cadence of hitting my weekly target, which for the most part I've been managing to do. So
nice.
This week I won't, with all the extracurricular stuff I've been doing. I've been pulled off the sales tools completely, getting Laura's job across the line. But yeah.
Right. Nice.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. That as well.
Yeah. Cool. Yep. Cool. I should probably go.
Okay.
Try to do my own sales things. I got two people asking about dust boots right now. Gotta go.
Gotta go. Look, take your beautiful lighting and get some work done. Oh, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. Really up the game. My God.
I like how we went, like, normally yours is just pretty great. You're just like in the dark tonight.
No, yours is like off chops. Today. It's just an AI. He looks too good. I'm like, wow. That's
the beauty filter I've got going on.
Sheesh. All right.
Bye.
Chala. Bar.
Shaped like a bad decision. No square face, no clean edge, pure broad stitch. I could build a fixture the size of a boat, or leave two set tabs and hope that it floats. Measure twice, swear thrice.